Good morning. You listen to FloraDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. I'm in Houston. I'm at the 17th Annual CARE Meeting, and I'm with Chad Chafin with Southeastern Recycling based in Nashville. Chad, how you doing?
I'm doing great today. Thanks.
I understand you've been elected to be the spokesperson for the Collector Sorters group of the CARE organization, right?
Yeah, that is correct. We needed to make a presentation to the VPS board, and I was chosen to do the speaking on behalf of the board members.
VPS is voluntary, what is it?
It's the Voluntary Product Stewardship. And it's basically a program that CARE and the mills, the CRI group, they just realized back in 2014, you know, the headwinds that were working against the collector, you know, with the type of carpet that was being manufactured and the outlets that we had to put the carpet into. And so they basically created a funding mechanism, a budget to help the collectors be viable and to stay in business so that we could keep collecting carpet and it wouldn't phase away.
And I guess what I've heard is since 14, they've been putting $4.5 million into a fund to help you offset your cost of recycling carpet. So, but before we get into too much detail, let's quick go back and talk a little bit about Southeastern Recycling. I mean, your business is in Nashville and you recycle carpet and carpet pad in both Nashville and Knoxville, right?
That is correct. Our home office is in downtown Nashville, and in 2001, I was actually a race car driver. I was very fortunate to get to that level, but I knew I wouldn't be able to race, you know, forever. I kind of got into this business on happenstance. I knew some guys that collected carpet padding, and I actually bought their equipment and took over the business, and it was just kind of a hobby business, thinking that one day I would need something to do. So I started with a couple trucks and one baler, and we started buying carpet pad, and here we are 18 years later, total employee about 23 people, and we recycle carpet and the padding in Nashville and Knoxville, but our collections stretch out from southern Kentucky, northern Alabama, so we try to cover that whole middle Tennessee region.
And your tonnage, if I was looking at a chart, tonnage that you're able to pick up and can, you know, ship off for recycling, is that going up, is it flat, or is it going down?
Our collections are pretty well up. I think we have plateaued maybe in the last few years. I think slightly up in the collection standpoint. Our output, you know, our shipping, what we ship out, is gone down. And that's due to the markets that are available to us. So we ship out our nylons. And, of course, we ship out our carpet padding. And up until about a year or so ago, we were sending a lot of carpet for an alternative energy source. And then that was a plant that Shaw had built. And anyone, you know, in this industry was probably aware. Shaw had their R2 plant in Dalton, Georgia. And we sent a lot of polyester carpet into that. We were one of the recyclers they were able to receive from due to the proximity. So that was fantastic for us. And when that plant got shut down, we have seen our output decrease, and we're seeing a lot more of our carpet, unfortunately, go into the landfill. But we take all types of carpet. We don't target our collections, and therefore we are able to capture everything that is recyclable. So nothing gets through our net. We just are not able to put the output that we were at one time.
We just heard Bob Peoples talk about the state of CARE, because we're the first morning of the meeting, and he was talking about the fact that in the last couple of years, the number of collector sorters has been reduced by 50%. So first question is, why are there fewer and fewer collector sorters?
Well, it is a difficult industry to be viable. In the collection industry, we sell the carpets for pennies. The average carpet that we sell is probably 5 to 6 cents a pound net sale. When you're in the collection industry, you have a couple of fronts. One, we're competing against traditional waste hauling. So we have to be able to go into a carpet store and offer him a viable alternative to their waste. And usually we can do that. We can be cheaper than their traditional roll-off waste bill. However, it requires some work on their part. And so you have to go in and make a favorable deal to the carpet store owner, something that he knows he's going to save money, but it's a little more trouble for him and all the installers. And you get this material in, and then as you start sorting it and you bale it and you have the stuff you can't use, it's a low margin business. And I think as the percentage of carpets and the outlets went away and the percentage of carpets that we could actually sell and generate revenue, it just becomes a revenue model. And I think a lot of these guys have transitioned their business into other things. For the most part, I think a lot of those guys could get right back in it. They just got to a point they weren't profitable, and they're just kind of sitting on the sidelines is what I suspect.
All right, so they weren't profitable. That's probably the biggest reason. So the retailer is paying you to haul this off, but paying you less than their tipping fees to the landfill. And then you're getting some funding from the VPS, and then you get funding for certain types of recycled polymer. You're able to give nylon to one outlet. And I guess one of the biggest issues is the fact that there's really no viable market for spent PET fiber, right?
I think that's the biggest thing that we face. And in California and in some instances, there are applications for post-consumer PET carpet. From my understanding, from a chemical standpoint, polyester, once it is retrieved from the carpet, you have such a high fixed cost in retrieving that usable fiber. And even then, I think the challenges of the PET fiber, it's not a robust resin or polymer, if you will, like the nylon is. So it just does not have really a viable option. I think the mills are very conscious of the collector's dilemma, and they've been helpful with the VPS program, and I think we're going to see a lot of cooperation. I think there's a partnership. There's definitely some shared interests in increasing the recycling rate. And even though it has gone down the last few years, even with the VPS money, I think we're going to try to develop some new strategies that can sustain at least what we have now so we don't see a further decline.
What needs to change, Chad, for the economic equation to start working for the collectors and sorters?
Well, what we have proposed to the mills, to the VPS board, to go back to the mills and ask is that we take the funding that we have. We've seen the funding that's allotted not being spent because it's based on what we actually recycle. We're asking them to recommit the full amount of the funds and to help us find alternative uses for the PET carpet, especially in alternative energy sources. And that will take some subsidies from the mills to make that work. But we think we can start putting pounds away from landfill and into other sources with their cooperation.
So the CRI has set aside $4.5 million a year, and they haven't been giving that out. For what reason?
Well, it hasn't been spent because the mechanisms were funded were based on our outputs. In the collection stream, the nylons have gone down, therefore our outputs have automatically gone down, even though necessarily our collection or gone up. Our output has gone down, therefore the funds paid out has gone down. So we've asked for a reallocation of those funds, a new commitment to put these funds not into a failing project, not into more diminishing returns, but to use this money to get the landfill diversion rate going up. From a collector standpoint, until some of these companies come on board and want to consume the polyester and recycle it, I think we have to look at the carpet as its energy source, and we're going to have to utilize that. And in order for that to work, I think it will have to be subsidized, and I think the mills are in the position to do that. I think they have the desire to do it. I think they have the wherewithal to help us, and then we can implement the program and get it done.
All right, Chad, it's great to catch up with you again. I've been talking to Chad Chaffin with Southeastern Recycling based in Nashville at the annual CARE meeting, and you've been listening to KempR and FloridaDaily.net.